This is chapter 4, part 2 of The War on Waste Innovation. This section is about systems that support change, black knights, and boundaries. Systems that support change. I laugh every time I think back at one company executive. He actually said this to me. I don't care if everybody else's job changes, just stay away from mine. Boy, if anyone ever gave me a red flag to charge, this guy did. So, of course, I charged. In fact, he turned out to be very easy to change because the changes that came up in our process made his job easier. I don't go into companies to implement changes that make people's jobs harder. I go fully expect to change some jobs. And when I do, I fully expect them to stick. Most do, some don't. But these resistors in the system are clever. We call them black knights. They control information, and they don't want to give up. They control company policy and feel that they are far better at making decisions about rules than uninformed line workers. They are the manipulators of tribal knowledge. Of course, the workers are uninformed because they don't have the information that they need. That happens because the controllers of the system make sure that they are in control of all information. So in order to change, systems need to be in place to support change. The systems and the people that control the overall system need to be in favor of the changes. One CEO made it very clear to several resistors of change. He told them, "I am the general leading a war on waste. You may be committing treason with your resistance to my changes. Decide now whether you stand with me or against me. If you resist these changes, then you have committed treason." I was a believer, and so were all of his resistors. They all elected to stand with him, and the change was successful. As a concluding thoughts, as a conclusion on change, I offer this comment from Lawrence Bossidy. Lawrence Bossidy was the CEO of Allied Signal. And prior to that, he was a senior-level executive who worked for Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE. And Bossidy said, "If you focus on the customer, the employees will know that change is necessary." And then I would add, not only will they know that change is necessary, they will know what change is necessary. Black knights. You may remember Monty Python's Search for the Holy Grail. In the movie, there is a scene in which a black knight is defending a bridge. As King Arthur approaches, the black knight is engaged in battle with another knight. Of course, the black knight wins. He always wins. After the defeated knight is dispatched, killed, King Arthur approaches and beseeches the black knight to join him at Camelot. Instead, the black knight challenges King Arthur to a duel. When Arthur tries to cross the bridge, the Black Knight is defending the bridge. But in truth, King Arthur could easily have jumped across the creek. It is just a trickle. But King Arthur and the Black Knight engage in combat, and the Black Knight loses an arm. When the king challenges him to give up the fight, the Black Knight denies that he has a problem. "I've had worse," he moans. King Arthur chastises him. "Look at you, bastard. You don't have an arm." The Black Knight continues denial all the way to the point where he doesn't have any arms or legs. King Arthur, ever the gallant victor, opines, "Okay, we'll call it a draw." Obviously, the Black Knight was defending a stupid position. In our view of business, managers and employees at all levels of business do that. But King Arthur is just as guilty as the Black Knight. He really didn't need to challenge the Black Knight. He could have just jumped across the creek and been on his way to Camelot. But managers and plenty of executives sometimes do just that. They get into their employee's face and force a person to defend a ridiculous position. We see the Black Knight all the time in a typical classroom session of the War on Waste. For example, an employee might identify a waste that is a problem with one of the department managers. The manager, foreman, or supervisor, the Black Knight, denies in public that the identified problem exists. So you might say that a situation has developed.
The employee is safe, hiding behind a shield of no blame. The manager is in denial, and the facilitator is in the middle. This looks like Mission Impossible. What does a facilitator do? No matter what, you have to uphold order. But let's assume you already said that you wanted to improve the business processes and that you've signed up on the no-blame philosophy. You don't need to lose points with either employee. The general rule of the war on waste is focus on the work. The issue here isn't whether there is a black knight in the room or not. The issue is, what is the right work? If an employee has a suggestion that identifies a waste in the business, the facilitator needs to defend the employee until enough facts have been collected to substantiate the size of the waste and that you really have a problem. You need to determine how much value is being lost. This is the scientific principle at work. Find out how big a problem is, and then you can see if it could still be denied as a problem when the evidence is in. In one of our clients, the Black Knight tried to derail a project that his team had decided to work on for their War on Waste presentation. He didn't want to work on it because it addressed the issue of employee turnover, of which he was the major cause. The employees were all aware that he was a Black Knight, but at some point he realized that he needed to get on board the change wagon. He did, and has become a very strong member of the ongoing effort to improve that business. He was a Black Knight change. It is possible. Boundaries. In physics, a boundary is a physical point of separation between two or more states. For example, air and water, water and ice, solid and vacuum, and various other combinations. All the good stuff in physics happens at these boundaries. Electromagnetic radiation, light and shock waves, have clearly defined behavior inside a medium. For example, light travels at a particular speed in a vacuum. When light hits water at a boundary, then reflection, refraction, and polarization all happen simultaneously. Why it behaves this way makes for exciting research. In a business, a boundary is a border between two departments. It is usually the point of transfer of information or materials that leads to great opportunities for wasteful things to happen. For example, what happens when the sales department hands a sales order to the inventory management people, and hopefully, the same order to the factory? For example, think of the following scenario. A customer gives an order to a sales manager, fully expecting the products to be shipped according to the schedule they agreed on. Imagine that the sales manager drops off the order in the sales department and he's expecting that it will get processed according to the customer's expectations. What a thought that is. He quickly fills out the order in the computer, but leaves off a few key order parameters. He keys in the wrong ship date, and the product specifications are inconsistent. The wrong ship date is 3 weeks after it is really due. The sales manager leaves for Europe on vacation, and a trusty order entry person is gone. Now the fun begins. The customer calls for the change. No one is available, but someone in purchasing decides to handle the deal. Now we have two boundaries involved, sales and manufacturing boundary, and an unnecessary boundary to purchasing. I don't need to finish the story. Everyone knows what it's about. It's an accident waiting to happen. In my view, it is at these boundaries that the fun occurs in the War on Waste project. This interaction of departments at their boundaries is where a lot of waste in a business occurs. It is usually fertile ground for war on waste projects. In leading the war on waste, we look at waste at department boundaries because it can usually lead to a bigger problem. And there are often lots of blame at boundaries because the two sides of the boundary work for different bosses. Unlike good black knights, employees protect their department no matter what. Another word use of the boundary in business defines how far a person can go in performing his or her job. The size of the boundary is a measure of the freedom that a person has within a company. A person is free to do whatever in his or her job is considered to have an open boundary or free roam of the company. This is all part of the process that I call chalking the field. We discussed this earlier. It is how we define boundaries. A small boundary refers to someone who is on a short rope and is being closely managed. related to the size of the employee boundary is how clearly a manager defines the boundaries of those reporting to him or her. It is probably a human trait that most of us sense the need to be accountable for our actions. We usually call it knowing our limits. So a boundary defines our limits. There was an experiment performed a number of years ago in which children were placed in a field without a fence. The children just naturally bunched together in the middle of the field. The researchers then put up a fence, and the children spread out. Many explored the fence and what its limits were. They tested the fence, and some even tried to climb over it. This applies to business as well. If you define clear boundaries for the employees, you will get greater use of assets. There is a greater exploration of the opportunities within the boundaries, and you will gradually be able to expand the defined boundaries as territory becomes fully explored. New markets, new products, new personnel, and new competitors will open up the boundaries. The value of defining clear boundaries is that you don't need to tell people what to do so often. You tell them where the boundary is, and you tell them what not to do. This is like defining an out in baseball. Once you know the rules, you can play the game. You encourage innovation and creativity, but within loosely but clearly defined limits.
That is the end of Chapter 4, Part 2 of the War on Waste Innovation. If you need more information about the War on Waste Academy and our offerings, you can go to our website at www.bertain.com, or you can call me at 510-520-8011. Thank you. States.